It's the Drew Grimaldi Podcast! Everybody, welcome to the Drew Grimaldi Podcast. I say it every week. The world is getting fucking weirder and stranger by the day. It's getting worse. Over the weekend, we had some crazy things going on over in Israel. And the Biden regime either knows what's going on and they just try to play stupid because they think it's going to help them somehow or something, but it never helps. But I want to do this flashback really quick here to Joe Biden in 2008. Actually, scratch that. That one didn't get saved in the notes. But this one here is Joe Biden after all the attacks that we just had, okay? This was the question that they asked Kirby. And this was his answer. Listen to this.
Soundbite for you that is just last month in Vietnam, and ask you if this still holds for the president. Watch.
The only existential threat humanity faces, even more frightening than a nuclear war, is global warming going above 1.5 degrees in the next 10 years.
Given all the nuclear players in these two areas where we are now engaged on, does the president stand by that comment?
Absolutely, he does. Climate change is an existential threat. It could, it actually threatens and is capable of wiping out all human life on Earth over time. I mean, I don't know how more existential you can get to that. But that doesn't mean that we walk away from our obligations, our national security interests in very dangerous parts of the world.
But John, he said it was more frightening than a nuclear war. It's more frightening than a nuclear war in this moment?
The president believes wholeheartedly that climate change is an existential threat to all of human life on the planet. That's just science. That's a fact, Martha. But it doesn't mean that we turn our back on the other challenges facing this country and our allies and partners around the world.
These people are fucking retarded. They're stupid. And they have... People did not vote for them. They did not vote this regime in. This was set up by a cabal, and they took it all over. But it's the same type of fucking radicals that put stuff together like what's going on. Look at this. This is what's going on in Israel.
Every day of every month of every year since the terrorist organization Hamas was founded, it has called for the murder of every Israeli. Yesterday, Hamas invaded Israeli towns and slaughtered hundreds of innocent people in the streets, point blank. They went house by house, children held in their parents' arms. Hamas has unleashed the gates of hell. They're solely responsible for this war. Only their complete and utter defeat will bring peace. This is a battle between good and evil forces. The world deserves victory over Hamas. Stand with Israel. Stand with justice.
So all of this is going on. And Joe Biden and the people in the regime are so out of touch that they say that climate change is the number one threat right now. With everything that's just going on, you got what's going on in Ukraine. And Joe Biden earlier today, he was sitting there talking about the two, and every time he was asked about Israel, he kept talking about Ukraine. And people are like, why the hell does he keep going back to that? And then they realize, oh, he keeps getting them confused. It's a really sad state of events that we're in here. But I think, you know, it's just disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting that the Biden regime hasn't taken a more firm stance with one of our allies. Check this one out. This is another vid. Oh, this already played that one. Hang on. Check out this one here. This one here is the Iron Dome from over there. This is the one I was looking for. Those are all missiles that are getting shot down by the Iron Dome. It's crazy. But they're showing planes getting shot down. So, I think one of the biggest things, one of the reasons, this is so important to bring to light, is that on 9/11, and if you go back to my show that I did that day, I said that Joe Biden did not attend any 9/11 ceremonies. There was a lot of reasons. He was the first president not to go to one since it happened. He was the first president to sit it out. But on that same day, Joe Biden tried to make a prisoner swap where he unfroze and he gave the Iranian government $6 billion. Now, these people in the Biden regime, they tried to paint it off. They tried to say, well, there was restrictions to it. Yeah, there's restrictions. Do you think thugs give a shit about your restrictions? So lo and behold, we find out that money that this asshole sent over there, which I never understood it when Obama did it, but they send this money over there, and that funding is exactly what led to these attacks. You cannot make this shit up. I have not seen this type of incompetence since Obama. I think Obama still might be and thinks he's in power, pulling the puppet strings and shit. But they, you know, they said, oh yeah, there's restrictions, right? That's what they kept saying, right? That was the MSNBC push line. Oh yeah, there's restrictions on the $6 billion. This is Blinken.
What do you say about the argument that money is fungible? So Iran may have known this money is coming and used other funds to help fund this attack that happened.
Iran has unfortunately always used and focused its funds on supporting terrorism, on supporting groups like Hamas. And it's done that when there have been sanctions. It's done that when there haven't been sanctions. And it's always prioritized that. And again, I come back to the proposition that from these funds have always been, under the law, available to Iran to use for humanitarian purposes.
What do you say about the argument that money is...
So, I mean, like, they just... They know that they're lying. They know that they're wrong. So they try to just spin it as much as they can. But that's what... They tried to say that there were restrictions on that. And the Iranian president said, they're not going to tell us what we can spend this money on. So, MSNBC has had this disgusting stance because they have all the anti-Semites on there. But MSNBC was like really trying to downplay, you know, the whole attack and everything. Because it doesn't look good for their people, right? It's a propaganda channel. So the activists over there on MSNBC bring on somebody to speak about what's going on in Israel, and he absolutely, like, lights them up.
Then tell us, if you will, just what these last few days have been like for you and why it's so important that you are appearing here today with the Reverend Sharpe.
Well, so I will be honest and maybe a little more vulnerable than I normally would be. These have been some of the hardest days of my adult life. I don't ever remember a moment like this. I have family in Israel right now under siege and being deployed to the front lines. I have staff who can't locate their family. I have friends who are gone. And I think Ambassador Danone put it well in a context that Americans can understand 9/11, the evil that was perpetrated here. But the scale, Jonathan, the right comparison is Nagasaki. This was like an atomic bomb. And as 40,000 people were killed in Japan when they dropped that bomb in Nagasaki, so too were the hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people who were killed in Israel. And so while I am sad and trying to cope, I'll be honest, I am angry. I am angry with the world that allowed the dehumanization of Israelis and sanitized the terrorism of Hamas. I must say, I love this show and I love this network, but I've got to ask, who is writing the scripts? Hamas, the people who did this, they are not fighters, Jonathan. They are not militants. And I'm looking right at the camera. They are terrorists. It is a barbarian who rapes and brutalizes women, who kills children in front of their parents, and then brings them over to Gaza. Who literally, we've heard all these reports, and we know these aren't just reports. These were filmed gleefully by the barbarians who committed these grotesque crimes. They filmed, for example, an elderly woman in her home in one of these towns. They burned her alive in her house because she was too infirm to take out. And, you know, parading women, bleeding from the crotch because they were raped, throughout Gaza while people hoot and holler and cheer. So look, you know, when we say, oh, this was an escalation, it was bound to happen, I am sorry. This was a massacre that was pre-planned. This was not destined to happen. It is not normal to shoot teenagers in the back, hundreds of them. So I just think, like, guys, get this story right. And all these pictures of, like, you know, missiles or the rubble in Gaza, please talk to the Israeli mothers and fathers who lost their children. Talk to the grandchildren whose grandparents were seized as hostages. And please stop calling this a retaliation. This is a defensive measure against an organization that is committed to one thing: killing Jews, not a peaceful resolution of a conflict, but murdering Jews. And if you're wondering if I'm exaggerating, please, I beg of you, everyone watching and everyone at this network, just watch the footage.
Very powerful stuff, I thought. But, I mean, yeah, MSNBC, they have, you know, the squad, they're Ilhan Omars and AOC, and they've said some shit where they're like pro-Palestine. And it's like, how out of touch and stupid do these people have to be? You know? And there was like a sign one time I saw where they had like a bunch of, like, you know, liberals hitting up like, gays for Palestine. Well, in Palestine, they kick you off of a roof for being homosexual. So it's just ignorance. We have the pandemic of the uninformed. But this shit today, or, you know, the shit that happened is just insane. It's like the Red Dawn type thing, man. Look at this. They're all dancing. So needless to say, but like, this was a very well-coordinated, well-funded machine okay? And all of that money came from the West. We paid for it. It's disgusting. You know, these people are just shooting teens in the back. They paradropped in to this rave and just started shooting people. I mean, just absolutely disgusting. And then MSNBC covers like that. Oh, well, it's a resistance fighters. They're resistance fighters. Give me a fucking break. And you wonder why nobody fucking watches that. So, Joe Biden, just the other day, he all of a sudden decides that he wants to finish the border wall. And of course, the AOCs are like, how could you? You're better than this. You shouldn't be doing that. They're crying, you know, trying to get president in name only, Joe Biden, out of there. So Biden, all of a sudden, just the other day, decides to start building a border wall. Yeah. Completely reverses courts. Maybe his people... Now, here's the thing. Maybe his people said, listen, this is not a winning topic. Just close the damn border. You know, put up a wall. Whatever. But I think it's much more sinister than that. Because I had actually read reports that the Biden regime knew about this attack like three days before it was actually going to happen, which I thought's pretty, you know, for them being one of our allies, especially after 9/11. But these Democrats have a very short memory in terms of that, of those types of things. I would say a lot of the people that are voting Democrats these days, they're either so old that they can't remember 9/11 anyways, or they're so young that they weren't even alive during it. But yeah, the Biden regime all of a sudden just decides to change course.
Reiterated that the president's position is consistent when it comes to the border wall. His DHS secretary previously said in 2021 that he was against the border wall. As plenty of my colleagues have pointed out, he has recently said that there's, you know, an acute need. It seems that his secretary has changed his mind. So, will the president, or has the president inquired what caused that evolution?
Of what caused the evolution of?
Mayorkas's opinion when it comes to...
Well, you just heard from the president. I'm not going to get into...
Is he curious, perhaps, what Mayorkas saw?
I'm just saying that you just heard from the president. He was asked directly the question, and he said no. I don't have anything else to add beyond that.
And then reiterated that the president's position...
Oh, that was a tough question for her. I have nothing else to say on that. She is awful at her job, too. She's terrible. And, you know, I'm all about hiring all different diversities. You know, because if you want to have the best talent, they don't come from just one race, right? And if you're looking for the best talent, you know, you have to go out there, in especially in a professional setting, a job setting. But KJP is the definition of a diversity hire in this case, and every single one of the diversity hires that the Biden regime has made has been an absolute failure. Just an absolute failure. But, I mean, she had nothing to say on that. Because, I mean, what the hell are you going to say to that? Oh, yeah, we've been so against this border wall for so long, you know. And here's a good one for you. This one's upbeat. So, Candace Owens, big fan. So, Candace Owens is on this campus. And some people start kind of chirping her. And listen to this.
Trans students on this campus who actively feel victimized by your presence here today. Additionally, you just pointed out that this man detransitioned, but earlier in your speech...
Guys, I want to hear her. Go ahead. What do I have to say? Just the question, please. No speech. What is the question?
What do you have to say to the trans students on this campus who feel actively victimized by your presence here?
Life's tough. Get a helmet, man. I'm too pregnant for this. Next question.
Trans students on this campus who actively feel victimized by...
Actively feel victimized. What are you going to say to the trans people who feel actively victimized by just you being here? Get a fucking clue. But that's That's, God, I hate those fucking people. I don't hate them. I pray for them. Because they're so, they obviously hate themselves, you know? And that's what I say about a lot of people in the Democrat Party, is that, you know, they're freaks. They're not able to be, you know, fit in anywhere else except for maybe the priesthood or, you know, the Democrat Party. And they welcome the freaks in, and that's what they do. That's why Democrats are always so united, because they're just going to do what they're told. Oh, I'm a friend. And they say that we're the cult. Okay. So here is Biden mumbling through a speech about Ukraine the other day.
And also our continued enhancement of stability in the Indo-Pacific, in that whole area. And also our continued...
Sounds like Boomhauer on fucking King of the Hill. The fuck were you saying, Joe? You're the president of the United States. It sounded like he was fucking falling asleep. I mean, talk about somebody who's not supposed to be there. And, you know, there's Democrats out there that are still defending this. There are people out there still defending this guy. This incompetent, corrupt, vile piece of shit that is driving everything into the ground. And people say, oh, you know, he doesn't have that much control. Yeah, well, tell us that about how he was censoring most of us, you know, conservatives. This guy has been the most vile and corrupt, the most divisive president, and he's also the most racist. But people will not say that anymore because they're just another breed that somebody created, right? Michael Moore said that the media created Trump. Well, the media created this guy. He was supposed to be old Grandpa Joe, and he is absolutely nothing that they sold him to. And that's why they're turning on him. That's why they're hating him. So here's a funny one. So Biden's dog, Commander, okay, keeps biting Secret Service people. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought they already got rid of that dog. No, no, no. Major was the other dog. So both of Biden's dogs bite people. What does that tell you about the owner? It means he's a shitty pet owner. And it means he's a shitty person. Judge people by how they treat animals. That's what I always say. And I think Joe Biden... So he was removed... But look at this. Remember I said it's just bad dog owner?
Him to stop his frequent trips home to his home state of Delaware. Look, stay in the White House. Go, you know, work on the problems. But maybe he's got like a secret cave in his house.
He just kicked his dog?
Cave in his house. Cave in his...
Yeah, shitty dog owner.
For him.
I mean, can you believe that? I mean, just disgusting. These people are vile, just corrupt. Awful fucking people. So, I thought this shit was funny. So, I'm a huge fan of Senator John Kennedy. And, he, you know, the left likes to say, oh, the right, you know, the right's trying to take, you know, books out, blah, 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 blah. No, we're not trying to ban books. And that's such a dishonest way of saying it. You know, don't teach sex to a kid that can't even read yet. Why is that so hard? So John Kennedy hammers these liberal people. Check this shit out.
Asking that only librarians and not parents have any say in whether minors can read those books. Is that what you're saying?
Genderqueer has never been in my school library, so it's never been banned.
Well, suppose it was. Should it be up just to the librarian, or should parents have a say?
There should be facilitation of collaboration between students,
parents have
and
a say?
Parents should be working with students and educators.
Who decides ultimately, the librarian, or do you take a vote?
Committees in the community in my school district.
You want a committee? How do we decide whether the two books that I just referenced should be available in the library.
All Boys Aren't Blue, the scene you mentioned, is about sexual abuse.
I know what it's about. The
students who do not read books like All Boys Aren't Blue cannot learn what is appropriate.
I understand that. You say censorship is bad, and of course it's bad. We're not talking about Catcher in the Rye. Tell me what you want, who gets to decide. And all I've heard is the librarians. And parents have nothing to do with it. What planet did you just parachute in from?
Oh, shit. He always cracks me up, man. He's so funny. But, yeah, so continuing on, here's one where Biden takes aim at conservatives.
And get ready, pal. You're going in for a problem.
Over there is that pig, man. I found something soaked on the arrowhead.
Oh, shit. I love it. So, I always try to give some fair coverage here. But here is what Bobby Kennedy Jr. had to say about Ukraine.
It's his fault that Russia invaded Ukraine.
No, I'm not.
If you can get by his voice.
I'm not making any excuse for Vladimir Putin. His invasion was illegal, it was brutal, and he had other options. But did we deliberately provoke the action? Yes, we did. Again and again and again, we would not allow Zelensky to sign the Minsk Accords in 2019. Zelensky ran as the peace.
Well, that guy.
He's a comedian. He's an actor. He had never been in politics. But he won with 70% of the vote. Why? Because he ran promising that he would sign the Minsk Accords, which were already agreed to by Russia, by France, and by Germany. And then the United States, we, our White House, went over there. We would not let him sign. If we had let him sign, this war would have never happened, and all those kids would be alive today.
All right, that I had to stop at that music. What the fuck was that music? I'm pretty sure that was from, like, his Bobby Kennedy's campaign. Little strange. But if you could get by his voice, sometimes he has a decent message. But he's still a Democrat, right? Even though he's going as an independent, he's still a fucking Democrat. So, since all of this stuff's happening, it's kind of distracted us from Letitia Tate James, who out in New York trying to get Trump on this fraud, this $200 million fraud thing case, right? Well, she's one of the most politicized figures I've ever seen. She literally campaigned, I'm going to get Trump. And she goes, and people go, she goes, no, I didn't. No, I never did that. Check this one out, guys.
Of the United States has complained that I'm engaging in some sort of political witch hunt, that I've got some personal vendetta against him, that I campaigned against him. That is not true.
This illegitimate president who sits in the White House.
That president, because he's not my president, he's an illegitimate president. His days are numbered. His days are numbered.
We've got to get ready to mobilize, and we've got to get ready to agitate and irritate until victory is won, but more importantly, until Trump is defeated.
We will all rise up and resist this man.
And ultimately, we'll bring him down.
This illegitimate president, I'm going to give you the same level of respect that you gave to President Obama, and that is absolutely no respect at all.
Donald Trump has got to go. Hey, hey.
Ho, ho. Donald Trump is
back to
go. Hey, hey!
But yeah, I'm sure that she's not politically motivated at all. Not at all. So, I'm going to end with this one here. This is Poland going after some of the liberals here. This is fun.
Dear leftists, I'm very happy to take part in this debate about democracy in Europe. So let me give you some example of very major democracy in Poland. Over 1,000 years of of tradition of Polish nation. Polish nation rejected you, dear leftists, 8 times. 8 times in a row you have lost elections in Poland. So get used to it, because you're gonna lose again. That's number one. Let me give you some data about Poland and Polish democracy. The lowest unemployment in European Union is Poland. The highest GDP after COVID in European Union is Poland. One of the lowest debts in European Union is Poland. So don't give us this rubbish about the need of educated immigration, as we heard yesterday. We don't need your doctors. We don't need your engineers. Take them all and pay for them. We don't need them. You know why? Because there is a zero terrorist attacks in Poland. Why? Because there is no illegal migration in Poland. So don't give me this look.
And that's the point. So that's what we got today. Thank you for listening. Get out there, talk shit to a liberal, keep your eyes peeled, lots of crazy shit going on. Keep the faith, and keep doing God's work. Thanks for listening.